Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, page 1239 in your Schofield Reference Bible. And we'll be reading verses 6 through 10. These five verses from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, page 1239. And shall we please stand together for the reading of God's Word? The verses we'll read responsively, please. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Together also on verse 10, please. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And let's pray. Father, meet with us now in this service. How thankful we are that you give us these services. Father, we're thankful, of course, for our salvation, but how dependent we've become on the preaching of thy word in this place, thy messenger. And how so very faithfully you meet our needs in this place. Meet with us again tonight. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
My strength is made perfect in weakness. I want to speak tonight on the subject. You can fail without being a failure. Everybody in this room tonight fails. There are days when a cook will fail with a meal. There are times when this preacher will fail or other preachers will fail in preaching. There are times when you sing a solo maybe and you go home and you say to your family, I think I failed tonight. There are times when you, in athletic contests, give what you think is your best, but you find yourself failing. Now, folks, everybody fails. The champion baseball batter in the major leagues fails 65% of the time. Walter Payton has been tackled on all but 13 of his carries. This year, only 13 times has he crossed the goal line. Every other attempt has found him tackled. Now, 'tis not failing that causes defeat. It's what you do with your failures that causes defeat. One round does not lose a fight. One inning does not lose a baseball game. And one quarter does not lose a football game. And one failing does not cause you to become a failure. I'm talking to somebody tonight who's throwing in the towel. I'm going to drop out of college. I'm going to quit my job. I failed. And I am not going on. Now, if that's the case, you'll be a failure. But just because you failed does not mean you have to be a failure. No way. And so could I cause you to give attention tonight as I bring this simple and yet profound truth on the subject, you can fail and not be a failure. Our Heavenly Father, I pray in these moments tonight that some people will get off the carpet, get back in the fight. I pray some people who've given up because they've failed shall realize that failing does not make a failure. And I pray tonight that you would bring about their re-entering the conflict because of these moments together. Amen. Everybody has to fail. I said everybody has to fail. No one of us in any endeavor of our lives has escaped this inevitable thing of failing. I sometimes preach a sermon somewhere across this country. I go back to my room and I cannot believe that that was Jack Hiles who preached that sermon. I'll take a sermon sometime that I may have preached 50 times in other places, and God may have used it in a marvelous way, and I may get up and absolutely lay an egg. And I go to my room after the service, and loneliness is never so lonely, and tears are never so many, and heartache is never so heartbroken as I feel when I go to the room alone at night and feel that I have flown across the country and at the expense of some church. And somebody has looked forward to my coming for 2 or 3 years. Advertising, announcements, plans, promotion, and the pastors, well, the pastors in some cases, the high hour of his year in the most important meeting, and I realize that I failed. It's inevitable. We're creatures of dust. The best man of us is at best a man of us. And everybody has to fail. But hear me carefully. Hear me carefully. Hear me carefully. Nobody has to be a failure. Failing is the ingredient with which failures are made. But now listen carefully. Failing is also the ingredient with which success is made. Hear me now. Failure is the ingredient by which failures are made. And failure is the ingredient through which success is made. Now here's the same thing. A failing. A failure. Some people take it and use failing as the ingredient for success. And let me say this. Nobody has ever arrived at the shore of success without enduring the storms of failure. Nobody. So it's up to you. You can take your failings, tuck your tail under your body, and give up, and say, there's no need, no hope, I won't finish, I'll drop out of school, I won't do the job, I'm a failure. That's up to you. Or you can say, by cracky, I have failed, and I have known I failed, but I will not let this failure be a part of the recipe of becoming a failure. But I'll let this failing be a part of the recipe that'll drive me on to victory and completion of my task. Now, I say again, failing is the ingredient to success, and failing is the ingredient to failure. You may decide. Look, folks, God has something uniquely and especially for you to do. And nobody can do that but you. There is a reason that God made you. You are an original. No two snowflakes are alike. No two fingerprints are alike. No two petals of a flower are alike. No two pebbles on the beach are alike. No two blades of grass in this world are exactly alike. Every blade of grass is God's original. Every pebble on the beach is God's original. Every snowflake that falls
is God's original, and you are a designer's model. You are an original, and God has something for you to do in this world. And only you can do it. A teacher asked the class, "Class, what is self-esteem?" Little Johnny raised his hand and said, "Teacher, I know what self-esteem is." And the teacher said, "Johnny, would you define self-esteem?" And little Johnny said, "Yes. Self-esteem means that even though I'm poor, and my daddy's poor, and I don't wear nice clothes to school, God made me to be somebody special. And God made you to be somebody special. God wanted a you in this world." Now I want to say this. God has a need for somebody just like you. And if you don't feel that need, the need will go unfilled. Psalm number 8. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a lord of the angels. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion of the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." There's nobody like you in the world. Nobody. You're the only one like you. We're glad about that also. But there's not another like you in the whole world. There are several billion people in this world, but nobody like you. And there never has been in the United States anybody just like you. And there never will be, till Jesus comes, anybody just like you. God wanted a you in this world. I do not know why he would, but he did. And there's nobody like you in this world. You are made in the image of God Almighty, a part of God's omnipotent plan to carry out his will and his work and his way in this world. And there is something God has uniquely for you to do it. I cannot do it. Lee Robertson cannot do it. Bob Jones cannot do it. John Rice cannot do it. Bob Gray cannot do it. John Colston cannot do it. Dr. Wendell Evans cannot do it. There is nobody that can do it uniquely like you. There is a place for you. There is a purpose for you. Now I want to say this. God created you and programmed you to be a success. God created you and programmed you to be a success. Ethel Waters used to say, "God don't sponsor no flops." God don't sponsor no flops. Now you say, "Preacher, you just a while ago said sometime I had to fail." Yes, that's true. But I said you don't have to be a failure. Now, these failures for you can be a stumbling block that will lead to becoming a failure, or these failures can be stepping stones that lead you to become a success. Let me say again now. God programs you to be a success. It is not the will of God that anybody in this world be a failure. For God planned that everybody in this world have a unique purpose. Look at that first Psalm. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted for the river of waters, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither." Hear me now. "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." God made you for prosperity. God made you for success. And God programmed you to accomplish the purpose for his putting you in this world. Read the first chapter of Joshua and read how that the Lord explains several times in those early chapters of Joshua how God made Joshua and man to succeed and to prosper. Or how about Romans 8:37? "We are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Or Philippians 4:19, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Or Mark 9:23, "All things are possible to him." I'm not talking about Norman Benson Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking. I'm not talking about that. I wouldn't give you a dime for all his books and all his ministry. That's not my cup of tea. I'm an old-fashioned hellfire and damnation. a barn burning, hell raising, shingle pulling, window rattling, fundamental preacher, and I'm not talking about my cat was sick and got well, so I believe in God. Or the old hound dog had the mange and I prayed for him so he got well. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a supernatural power of the Holy Spirit of God that God has available in your life, whereby you may take weaknesses and become make strengths of them. You may take losses and make victories of them. You may take failings and make success of it. God programmed you to be a success. Now then, may I say this? Failing is a part of your training for success. The other day, I was driving down Ann Arbor Street in Dallas, Texas. And I was preaching there, and I drove around, as I told you, my old home places. There's a hill from Frio Drive down to the bottom of, down to a little bridge just past Fernwood on Ann Arbor. And on that hill, I learned to ride a bicycle. My dad laid oak floor at the Argyle apartment in North Dallas, and he found in the garbage can a bicycle that had been dismantled and thrown away. It was Christmas time. My family had nothing to buy me for my Christmas, and my dad took that little bicycle out of the garbage can and put that bicycle together, and I had my first bicycle. It looked easy. I've always been sort of the kind of guy that thinks I can do most anything, you know. I got on that bicycle on top of that hill. I never made it 10 feet down that hill. I skinned my shin. I got a strawberry here on my side. Remember those strawberries? You'd slide into third base with short britches on. And I got a strawberry here on my thigh. Then I got up with tears rolling down my cheeks, and I tried again. And I tried again. I do not know how many hundreds of times I failed. But every time I failed, I got up and said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. At the age of 6 years of age, at the age of six, I failed and I failed and I failed and I, but nobody ever learns to ride a bicycle on the first trip. Falling down and failing are part of learning to ride a bicycle. Unless you decide, you ride it one time like some of you would. Ride it one time and say, I just can't do it. I just want to ride one again. Now, that, if that's the case, your failing brought you failure. Or made you a failure. But if you're one of those kind, this boy right here, you say, won't do it again. I won't do it again. I won't do it again. Won't do it again. There are two things in this world to me that I trust in heaven will not endure. And that is teaching a child how to ride a bicycle and teaching a teenager how to drive. I had brother go through half of the Great Tribulation period. Every time I taught one of our kids to drive, I'd think of that song Lester Olof sang, Living by Faith, yes, living by faith. But look, that little kid over there, Dave Howes, you said, won't do it again. Won't do it again. He'd fall down and break his neck. Won't do it again. Won't do it again. He'd fall down and bloody his nose. Won't do it again. Won't do it again. And that's me, buddy. I won't do it again. I come back at night sometimes and I feel like I can walk through the door after preaching without even opening the door. There's enough room underneath it with me without me even bending over. I can sit in the gutter and dangle my feet and I feel like I fail. And boy, I want you to know I can't wait till the next time I preach. I won't do it again! I won't do it again! I'm not gonna go home! I'm not gonna become a failure because I fail! I'm gonna learn where I fail and I'm gonna build on that and use it for foundation and for stepping stone. That by the grace of God, I will not fail or become a failure. Though I have failings, I'll not become a failure. I was in a church not long ago where Becky was playing the piano. And she was doing such a beautiful job. Somebody said, is that your daughter playing that piano so well? Yeah. That's my daughter. And then I start remembering those piano recitals where Bach turned over in his grave. Oh, my soul. And where I wanted to join him. I'll never forget Becky and the two Douglas boys took piano at the same time. I'll tell you what, if God has any rewards for anybody, it'll be for parents that set through those dumb recitals. And, you know, Becky would hit one note of Bach, and it wasn't the right one. Then she'd try again. And Bach would hold his ears, wherever he is, hold his ears. And I'd hold mine. I'd sit there, an old Douglas voice, oh, my soul. What's the oldest Douglas boy's name? Kenneth, and the youngest one. Roger. Oh, Kenneth could play. Roger mutilated the piano. And, listen, I'd sit there and listen to Becky and Roger rearrange Bach. And then I'd say, when is it going to be finished? And then it'd be finished. And then I'd go, like everybody else, and clap for that dumb thing. You know, Mrs. Colston, I wonder how many times your mom and dad had ulcerated ulcers because they had to... Come to think of it, you bother me sometimes still. But I'm saying, 'tis failure that brought success. Some little kid says, I don't want to play the piano. Try it one time. I didn't do it. Okay, if you want to be a quitter, go ahead. But failing is an ingredient for success. And you don't have to be a failure if you don't choose to be. Eating? You know what I'm talking about. Little head bobbling there. You put it down in that spinach. In the first place, one of the meanest things you'd ever do is feed those kids that stuff. Hey, did you ever eat any of that spinach yourself? No salt pork in it? Taste some of that stuff sometime. It comes out of Gerber's cans and jar and Heinz. You're cruel. Give that kid some fried okra and make a man out of him. Oh, those days. Anybody ever had a baby nose? And a little head bobbling, you aim at it. And finally, you get it in the mouth, you scrape it like that. And then she's so proud because she got it in her mouth. That time she smiles like, out it comes. She keeps the tithe inside. You scrape it off the jaw like that. A little head bobbling again. Look, folks, you did the same thing. They didn't have Gerber's and I was a boy. My mama used to chew up the food and then spit it out and feed it to me. Right, mama? Mama, am I right or wrong? Right? Did you chew up food, mama? Don't, Donna, hush. I'm talking to her. Lose 30 pounds and think you own the whole church. Mama, am I right? That you chew up food when I was a kid, didn't have Gerber's baby food, then you spit it out and feed it to me. Am I right? Don't you shake your head no, Mama. Now, Mama, I remember it. And if you ever ate food my Mama chewed up, you wouldn't forget it either, I guarantee you for sure. But I mean, you didn't learn to eat the first day. You didn't learn to walk the first day. You toddled and you learned to talk the first day. Well, the first day you said daddy, of course. But other than that, you didn't learn to ride a bike. And you didn't learn to walk. And didn't learn to run. Didn't learn to sew. Didn't learn to cook. Didn't learn to sing. Didn't learn to play an instrument. Nobody does. Thank God there's some people that say, okay, I'm failing. I make mistakes. I have weaknesses. But I'll keep on. Won't do it again. 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 And yet there's some sad, pitiful people who throw up their hands and say, don't want to do it again. God didn't intend for you to do it that way. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. As I said a while ago, no one ever reaches the shore of success until he has first traveled through the storms of failure. Perhaps your life has been like falling dominoes. It seems like that one failure after another just falls over and falls over. And that one failing and one falling after another. Perhaps you feel like the debris from a shipwreck on the sea of life. Perhaps you feel like that you can do no good. Ladies and gentlemen, there is not a student in this room in Hammond Baptist High School who can make it. If he'll use his failings as ingredients to success. There's not a one of you young people over here, our bus kids, not a one of you. But what can make it? If when you stumble, when you fall, you'll say, I'll get up and I'll step up on those failings and use them to drive me to success. There's not one student at Howells Anderson College that has to stop before you finish. Not a one. As I said so often, if you're a quitter, you folks are quit. Those students come to me and say, House, I'm leaving school, but I'm not quitting. Well, what is quitting, buddy? Boy, I don't like a quitter. If you're going to quit and wash out, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Don't you come by and tell me goodbye. Call out of the city in the sewer line. There is not a single student at Howells Anderson College who cannot succeed. You will say, with the grace of God, I'll use my weaknesses to make perfection. And my weakness shall be used, or strength be made perfect in my weakness, and my weakness shall be used to give me strength and success. Now, let me give you several things. Just don't write them down. Just remember them. One, remember that failing is not failure. Failing is not failure. Edmund Cook said, what is failure? It is only a spur to the one who receives it right. It makes the spirit within him stir to go in once more and fight. If you've never failed, it's an easy guess. You never have won any high success. Failing is not a failure. If you have a failing, you have not become a failure. You may be knocked out in the first round, but you can knock down the first round, but you can get up and finish the fight. Number two, failing is only a temporary setback. Number three, it is not a disgrace to fail unless you make it the last chapter in the book. Brother Ray, how many times do you say to the sopranos, sing that part again? Sing it again. And they'll sing it again. Carol Idson will go up when she's supposed to go down. And you'll say, there's somebody over here that's off. And everybody looks at Carol. And you'll say, sing it again. Sing it again. Sing it again. Maybe a dozen times. I wonder how many times you said to the bassist over here, why don't you quit the choir? But you said, let's hear it again, fellas. I've heard it before. I don't want to hear it again. But let's hear it again. Let's hear it again. And they try and they fail. And they try and they fail. Until they try and try. Till the special is given. And finally, they fail again. Now let's take the tenor. Now, folks, look. There's no disgrace to being thrown for a loss if you get back on your feet and crack the line again. There's no disgrace to strike. Did you know that the men in baseball who lead the league in home runs perennially also strike out the most? You've seen Dave Kingman stretch for that dumb ball, strike at one that's on the other side of first base. Come back the next time up, swings at one on the other side of third base behind him. Comes back the next time and strikes out, and you say, why don't they bench him? And then he comes back the next time and hits the ball all the way to Milwaukee. And you cheer. Why? Because anybody that's ever succeeded in anything has found out that failure is but a stepping stone to becoming a success if you get back in the fight. It is not a disgrace unless you make it the last chapter. A fellow steps up. Hold this in front of my mouth, would you? A fellow steps up to drive. And he brings it back. And he tries again.
Flash. So, he shoots a 9 on a par 3 hole. What does he do on the next hole? He's up there tee off on the next hole. Oh boy, I should have held my hand over a little bit like that. You heard about the story, didn't you, about this guy that drove? Ball sliced, went 2 fairways over, killed a fella. The fella's wife was playing with him. Guy walked over to hit his ball, dead man laying right beside him, started to swing. His wife said, "Wait a minute! You killed my husband!" He starts to swing again. She says, "You killed my husband! What are you going to do about it?" He says, "Next time I'm going to turn my hand over just a little bit like that." But you know it's true. Now get through life and I want to go on with the sermon. If he sits there, or stands there, and thinks about the failings of the last hole, he'll fail on this hole. And in life, when you fail, if you go around with your head between your legs, and a sour look on your face, and a griping disposition, and a defeated spirit, you will be a failure. But you can turn your hand just a little bit. And you can bring your score down. If you will not let that last hole be your failing and the last chapter of your book. And I charge you tonight, thank you. I charge you tonight in God's dear name. I charge you and challenge you to realize everybody fails. There are days when your teachers fail. There are days when your bus workers fail. There are days when your muchachos and muchachas fail also. There are days when you say after the special, "I'm going to resign." There are days when I say after the special, "He's going to resign." There are days when you fail. There are days when you fail. That's up to you to decide whether you become a failure or not. Get back on the bicycle. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. I failed in my first pastorate. I pastored a church almost 1 year. I didn't have one single convert. Not one. I baptized nobody. I had nobody join the church by transfer of membership. For 1 long year, I didn't have one single convert. And in that year, we grew from an average of attendance of 19 in Sunday school to 19. Steady growth. We didn't believe in mushroom growth. We didn't believe in numbers. Other folks that don't, it's because they're having similar success. I failed for a year. But I didn't get in the ministry to be a failure. Let me say this also. Losing a battle is not losing the war. Losing a round is not losing the fight. If you've got what it takes, you will get back up and fight again. The just man falleth 7 times, yet riseth up again, the Bible says. Number 5, keep your eye on the big goal. I like what J.C. Penney said, and this is worth your coming to church for tonight to hear this. J.C. Penney said, "Give me a stock clerk with a goal, and I'll give you a man who'll make history. Give me a man without a goal, and I'll give you a stock clerk." Did you hear it? Give me a stock clerk with a goal, and I'll give you a man who'll make history. You give me a man without a goal, and I'll give you a stock clerk. Abraham Lincoln was a failure in storekeeping. Abraham Lincoln was a failure as a surveyor. Abraham Lincoln was a failure as a soldier. Abraham Lincoln was a failure in law practice. Abraham Lincoln was a failure in business. It took him 17 years to pay his debts incurred in his business that failed. Abraham Lincoln was a failure in his bid for the Illinois legislature. Abraham Lincoln was a failure as he lost his campaign for Congress. Abraham Lincoln was defeated for vice president in 1856. But he became
perhaps in the minds of most, the greatest president this country's ever had. Why? Because he took this failure and 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 he put it in the same, mixed them up, and he said, I'll be a success. Boy, I wish I could grab you with a collar and shake you, some of you folks tonight. You quitters. You folks that wash up. I'm just not worth anything. Well, then why did God make you? You think God one day said, I need somebody not worth anything. I'm going to make him. And then there was life. You think God said that? No, sir. God looked down from his omnipotent throne. And God with his omniscience looked on the earth. And God said, there's something I need. A place for somebody to fill. And God made a you. And God made you to succeed in filling that place. And if you become a failure, it'll be because you cannot take failings. Hey, I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. May as well. Cowboys ain't doing no good. I like them. They played a whole year when it first began and never won a game. If I recall correctly, they played... Where's Gary? Gary, you running with that crowd? How long did they play the second year before they won a game? Half the season, finally beat the New Orleans Saints. But I'll guarantee you one thing. They got a coach down there that's a winner. I said back yonder when he's losing all those games, he'll win because he's a winner. Winners win. And every time they lost, he took some notes. They lost again, he took some notes. He had to use the Smithsonian Institute for a library to hold all the notes he took. But every loss was a stepping stone to victory. And as he would see a weak spot on the team, he'd draft someone to fill that spot or trade for someone to fill that spot. And then there was an Anthony Davis. And then there was a Ricky Bell. And then there was a Leroy Selman and his brother. And then there was a Chambers and others. And an Eckberg and others. And now then, he's a success. And do you know tonight, from what I hear, do you know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the same record that the Pittsburgh Steelers have this year? And you know that they are one game better than the Dallas Cowboys this year? Loneliness is never so lonely. What happened? Same thing that happened to the Dallas Cowboys 19 years ago. Tom Landry was the coach. They never won anything. They had a pitiful team. Tom Landry said, you could always tell which of the three backfield men were going to run at the ball when they snapped, lined up the line, because the other two were smiling. Tom Landry said that it's the only team that ever coached where when the center would snap the ball back, the fellow's going to catch it would call for a fair catch. Don Meredith was a quarterback. One day they tackled him, broke his leg. He's laying back in the back. He got out of the pocket. He didn't stay in the pocket. He got out of the pocket, tried to scramble. They tackled him, broke his leg. He's laying back there holding on to a broken leg saying, why did I do it? 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 Somebody walked up and said, Don, don't feel bad about it. Every quarterback gets out of the pocket. He said, that's what I'm talking about. Why did I do it? He said, why did you do what? He said, why did I leave Mount Vernon, Texas years ago in the first place? But you see, Tom Landry was a winner.
He was a success. He failed, but he was a success.
Oh, you whiners. You washouts. You quitters. Well, a fellow walked in my study the night and said, I just don't think I can carry the load at school. I said, how many hours you taking? He said, 12. 12? Live took 15. 12. That's the minimum. Now, say this also. If you failed in one area, get another goal. If you failed as a parent, you don't have to be a failure. Find you another goal. You failed as a husband, as a wife, as a pastor, as anything. You failed, and you're a failure, and it's all over. You can still succeed. In the rottenest apple, in the rottenest apple, too rotten to be eaten, there still remains seeds that can produce more apples. Alexander Graham Bell's wife was hard of hearing. Alexander Graham Bell decided to invent a machine that could help her to hear. He worked endless hours till hours became days and days became weeks and weeks became months and months became years and years became many. And Alexander Graham Bell was trying to invent an aid to help his wife hear. He failed. But in so doing, he learned enough to where he invented the long-distance telephone. He failed, but he wasn't a failure. And lastly, if you failed, weather the storm. Weather the storm. A little girl rushed up on a bright, sunshiny morning after a storm had rocked the house and frightened the family through the night. And the little girl walked up and pulled her daddy's breeches leg. Said, Daddy, Daddy, what was God doing last night during the storm? And as the daddy tried to phrase his answer, a smile came across her little face and she said, I think I know, Daddy. During the storm last night, God was making the morning, wasn't he? God was making the morning. And you may be in the storm, but God's making a morning for you. And you may have stumbled, but God is making a way of to get up. And you may have failed, but God is making a way where you don't have to be a failure. If you arise and fight again. In my weakness, my strength is made perfect. I know failure. I know a lot of failure. Of the 23,000 plus sermons I've preached, I dare say 10,000 of them, I've gone back to my room or my office or my home and wept and felt like I did not do as well as I should have done. I think I better tell the story I want to tell. You've heard it till you're tired of it, but I'm not tired of it. I didn't intend to tell it. It's not my outline. I love to tell it because it tells what I'm talking about tonight. One morning, I was so tired and weary, hadn't had much sleep that week, had traveled through the night, two nights or so. I stood behind this pulpit to preach. And right in the middle of the sermon, I absolutely went blank. I couldn't have told you. In fact, that morning when I'd read the little slips, it said W for West Side. And so I look over here from the convert, the name of the convert, and E for East Side. I could not figure which was the East Side and which was the West. And right in the middle of that sermon, I'd say a third through, I absolutely did not know what I was saying. It's been several years ago. The mayor of Hammond was sitting here on the second or third row. Beside him, I think, was the police chief and other people, dignitaries in Hammond. And I was humiliated. Absolutely humiliated. I got through. I gave the invitation, but did it because of habit, by rote. I rushed to my office and tried to hit myself in the head and get some sense back in my head. Met the folks and talked to the folks at the door. Felt better. But I felt like such a failure. Several weeks passed. I saw Becky, or maybe she wrote me, or she saw me, I forget. My oldest daughter. Either she told me or wrote me. I think she saw me. And she said, "Dad, I just heard one of your tapes this week." She said, "Dad, I heard the greatest sermon I ever heard you preach." And I said, "Thank you, Puddin." She said, "Dad, I've heard you thousands of times preach, but I never heard you preach like you preached on the tape I heard this week." I said, "Puddin, what's the tape? The title of the sermon?" She said, "The title is, There is a Way That Seemeth Right Unto a Man." And I said, "Puddin, that's the sermon." She said, "What sermon?" I said, "I sort of blacked out during part of that one. Didn't much know what I was saying." She said, "Dad, the best I ever heard you. Our strength is made perfect in our weakness. We come to the place to where we think we failed, but we just keep on going." I could have very easily that morning sat down, let somebody else finish. So it didn't. Even when I was a little dense, nobody else on the platform has much sense as I did still. Have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn with the toils of life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He can keep to the end. He's your dearest friend. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. And let your failing be a part of a recipe to success. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Our Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that this philosophy shall grip us. I pray that one about to throw in the towel shall run in the ring, grab the towel, and tear it up, and get back in the fight. I pray for those discouraged because they just don't seem to make it. The grades never seem to rise. Success never seems to come. I pray you'd help them to stay in there.